in Ephesians 1, and my faithful scribe and recorder.
All right.
Do you know what Yes, do you know what the last verse is that they referenced? I think I know where we left off. I thought I marked it, but apparently that.
I have Psalm 65:4.
Okay, good. All right. We were talking about predestination. And it's a, needless to say, a hotly contested subject in, among believers. And one that is overly complicated. Unnecessarily complicated and overly complicated. It's really very, very simple. But in verse 11, Paul says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." The word predestinated in this verse is number 4309 in the Strong's Greek. Can everybody hear me over the fan okay?
I'm not sure the recording's going to be okay.
What time?
Yes.
Okay. And this word is a compound word. It comes from number 4253 and number 3724. The first word is pro. I guess I should give you the compound word first. It's pro or idzo. Is what gets translated predestinated. And it's a compound. The first word of the compound is the word pro, which simply means before or prior to in time. And the second word is number 3724, and it's horizo, and it means simply to mark out, to appoint, to specify, determine, or ordain. So it is simply a determining or choosing or appointing that's done ahead of time or prior to something else. In this case, the choosing or appointing or selecting was prior to anything and everything. If you go back to verse 4, he says there, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." And the word world there is one that we know. It's number 2889. It's the Greek word cosmos. And it means the created visible universe. Okay? So it's not just the world. Before anything was created, we had already been chosen and selected because we were so much better and higher quality than other people. That one didn't get past Joe. No, again, we were chosen and selected in Christ. And that makes it open to everyone who will accept Christ. Christ was the selection criteria, if you will. So anybody who was willing to take him was automatically selected. Okay, very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. Let's have somebody go to Matthew 13 and someone to John 17. This is in reference to this word cosmos. And whoever gets to Matthew 13, verse 35.
"Then it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world."
Okay, from the foundation of the world, and we get there again, that word translated world is the Greek word cosmos. And then in John 17, whoever's there, verse 5.
"And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was."
Okay, before the cosmos was put into existence. Okay, let's have somebody go to Romans 8, someone to Galatians 4, and someone else to Matthew 10, and someone to Acts 3. Now I want to notice here in verse 11, He says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. The we here in verse 11 is a collective we. In other words, it's referring to all believers and the fact that all believers are heirs and have been predestinated. Okay? Words in Romans 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Okay? So there you have, if children, then heirs. Mm-hmm. Okay? I hate to use that word automatic again, but that's what it is. If you're a child of God, if you are in Christ, then you are an heir. Okay? Galatians 4, whoever's there, the first seven verses.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, drinketh nothing from the servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Though in the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. And you said, how far?
Through seven.
Seven.
Okay, and Joe, would you read verses 3 through 5 here in Ephesians 1?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Okay. Anybody notice what word is common to all three verses there? Us. Us refers to believers. So again, it's collective. Everything that's said in those three verses is true of all believers. Okay? All right. Now, in contrast, look at verse 12. Paul says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This refers specifically to Jewish believers to whom the gospel was first sent and received. Whoever's in Matthew 10, read the first seven verses for us there.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay. Did you catch that? Go not to the Gentiles, or even to the Samaritans. The Samaritans were the Jewish half-breeds. Okay? Imagine that. Not even the Samaritans. He said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the gospel. Okay? And we understand it was a slightly different gospel, but it contained salvation just like Paul's gospel does. And then in chapter 15, Chrisette, verses 22 through 24.
And behold, the women of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Ooh. that stings, doesn't it? Kind of a rebuke there. Okay, in Acts 3, whoever's there, verse 26.
Do you, for having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity?
And who is Peter addressing there? The Jews. Unto you first. Okay? So, we have here in verse 12 again that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. But then notice verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The ye here is Paul's audience whom he's addressing. And these are Gentile believers. These Gentiles doubtless formed the majority of the assembly at Ephesus. If you go back in Acts and read about the assembly at Ephesus, Ephesus was the seat and center of the worship of the great goddess Diana. Okay? And Paul created quite an uproar there with the silversmiths who had their living by making images of Diana. Okay? Now, there was doubtless a Jewish synagogue there as well, or maybe more than one, but it was a Gentile city. So again, Gentiles, by the time of Paul's epistle to them, Gentiles formed the majority of the assembly at Ephesus. But the roots of that assembly were Jewish. Okay? Who read Acts 3? Ty, go to Acts 19 and read the first 10 verses there.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he saith unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Mm-hmm. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which had come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Okay.
But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks.
Okay, and I'm going to have you go to chapter 13 in a minute, so don't stray too far. Let's have somebody go to John chapter 1, someone to Matthew chapter 3, and someone to Luke chapter 3. So in this episode in Acts 19, these approximately 12 men were Jews. They were disciples of John the Baptist. That is the message and the extent of the doctrine that they had heard and been taught. Okay? Now, John's message, as we're going to see here in a minute, did not include Jesus' name or the bestowing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? All right. John 1, whoever's there, please read verses 19 through 34.
And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God."
All right. Now, notice in this portion, and I understand this is only one record, but we'll see a couple of other short versions here. But notice what the question was of John. "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No, I'm not the Christ. There's one coming." Notice that he said in verse 29, he referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Okay? He saw Jesus coming. He knew Jesus. He was his cousin. But he called him the Lamb of God. Okay? Notice what John says, very curious, in verse 31. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." And he says it again, "And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." But he never gives Jesus his name to his followers. He calls him the Messiah, the Christ, and he calls him the Lamb of God. And he says, he's the one that's going to baptize with fire, not me. All right? And he leaves it at that. So that's as far as John's gospel went. So when these disciples said to Paul, "Holy Ghost, what's that?" They hadn't been taught that because John didn't teach that. He said he'll baptize you with fire. And even if he did say baptize you with the Holy Ghost, you think by the time the translation got to these guys, how many decades later, Ty? Maybe three? You know, maybe the term Holy Ghost hadn't been batted around too much. Okay? We haven't even heard of Holy. What is Holy Ghost? Okay? So you understand where these people are. Now, let's think about John's message, but let's go on. Matthew 3, whoever's there, read the first three verses.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophets, Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight."
Okay. Now, there was one or another facet of John's message. Repent. What does repent mean? To turn around. Okay, repent and make straight the paths of the Lord. And from that repent, you can derive salvation. Okay? It's time. The king's coming. It's time to get saved and straighten up. All right? Was the message. Verse 11, James.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay. Luke 3, whoever's there, verse 16.
John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay. So, here's John's message. Repent and be baptized in water. Okay? Now, notice verse 4 in Acts 19 again. Paul says, John verily, in other words, John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
It's time to turn around. The king is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get right. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. Mm-hmm. The Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
But 30 years later, Paul says that is specifically on Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Whoa, who's that? We knew him as the, we knew the Messiah was coming. That's why we believe John's gospel. Who's this Jesus fella? Or Jehoshua, if you want to think of that. Boy, that's a new one that they laid, that Paul laid on him, wasn't it? Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. All this stuff's brand new. Okay? Paul was adding, revealing what hadn't been revealed in John's gospel, in his preaching yet. Okay? Now, notice verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is exactly what should have happened, according to the Lord's instructions to his disciples in the book of Remember? Matthew's kingdom teaching, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Mark is in Jesus' name. Okay? So, then, verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, whoa, look what happens. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues, just like John said they would, once they believed on Jesus. See? They were saved. They believed in the coming Messiah. Now, oh, his name is Jesus. They just took a step forward. Now we know his name. We knew his title. We knew what he was going to do. Now we know his name. It just got more personal. Okay? All right, Acts 13, tie, verses 23 through 25.
So this man seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel as Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Who think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So look how wonderfully Paul completes it. Again, John preached repentance that was given first to who? Israel. And the Christ's name is Jesus. Okay? Unto you is this salvation sent. Alright? Now, going back to Acts 10, notice what happened there. In Acts 10, or 19, sorry. Acts 19. After these men got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, Paul, in verse 8, went where? Into the synagogue. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. As was his habit, he went to the synagogue first and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, who do you think those divers were in a synagogue? Gentiles? No, Gentiles weren't allowed in the synagogue. They were Jews. When divers were hardened and spake evil of that way before the multitude and believed not, he departed from them. He left the synagogue and separated the disciples, those who were listening to him, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And I'll bet you odds that Tyrannus wasn't a Jew. It's probably a Gentile. Okay? So you see now, back in Ephesians 1, how the we of verse 11 is collective. It's all believers. Verse 12 is speaking of the Jewish believers, who were the foundation, the origin, and the beginnings of the assembly at Ephesus. But as time went on, this assembly, no doubt, morphed, if you will, and became an assembly largely of Gentiles. Okay? And that's why in verse 13, in writing to this assembly years later, he says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the gospel of your salvation, very likely in the school of Tyrannus for some of you. You believed. So you have the we and the ye. You want to make that distinction as we go through those verses. All right. He goes on to say there in verse 13, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed in this verse is number 4972, and it means to stamp or mark for security or preservation, to set a mark upon by the impression of a seal. Now think about this security or preservation. when a new and very radical technology comes out, the military and the government immediately take it, close the folder, and stamp it top secret. You can't know about it, Joe, and neither can I. Only people with authorized access. It's been sealed. Eyes only. Heard that phrase? Okay. So, and think also, and Michelle will probably be more familiar with this than most of us, but think about people who as juveniles under 18 commit crimes. Many times their record is sealed by a court order. That record is sealed, and no one is allowed to read that. All right? In essence, it wipes their record clean because that file is sealed by a judge, by the order of a court. And employers can't see it. There's very few that have access to it. Maybe law enforcement under certain circumstances. But that record is sealed. It's hidden. It's concealed. Okay? It's no longer available for the general public, so to speak. Okay? Number 146, if you would, Michelle, in the Grace and Glory. I want you to listen to the words of this song. And you can only read the first verse. You'll get the rest of it.
Okay. My life is hidden with Christ in God, hidden away, hidden away. I'm hidden from sin by the power of the blood. Yes, hidden away with Him. Hidden away in His dear wounded side. Hidden from sin and from wrath by. Cleansed by the precious shed blood from all sin. Moment by moment, I'm hidden away with Him.
We're hidden away. the moment we were sealed with the Holy Ghost, we were hidden. We were stamped and concealed. Okay? Set aside for a special purpose. Let's have somebody go to 2 Corinthians 6, someone to Psalm 17, someone to Song of Solomon 2, someone to Isaiah 29, someone to Proverbs 3, and we'll get some more after that. Small wonder that saints who are believing and yielding to Paul's gospel are counted strange, off course, or out of touch by other believers. As we embrace the mystery shown to Paul, and you can find that in chapter 3 here, the first 7 verses, we ourselves become a mystery to others. All right? We're sealed. We're concealed. Top secret. Eyes only. Guess whose eyes? The bridegroom. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay? So, let me say it again. Saints who are believing and yielding to Paul's gospel are counted strange, off course, or out of touch by other believers. As we embrace the mystery shown to Paul, we ourselves become a mystery to others, including other believers. All right? And I think every one of us in here can testify to that. I know I can. Carolyn?
You brought to me a thought. My next door neighbor is, she loves the Lord.
Uh-huh.
She loves the Lord. And I believe what you're saying right now, because of this, if I may demonstrate, she'll come over to my house. We used to be close,
uh-huh,
years ago, when she first moved there about 30 years ago. Now, if I move toward her, she constantly backs up.
It's because you're contagious.
Just, yeah.
And it might rub off.
Yeah. She will not get close to me anymore.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Just as a testimony, recently someone near and dear to me said that, and you pray for this person, they said they wanted nothing to do with the Pharisaical believers at Living Waters.
Mm-hmm.
My God is big enough that I can worship Him anywhere,
mm-hmm,
in any church.
Mm-hmm.
And what this person doesn't understand is it's not about a location.
Right.
It's not about a pastor.
Right.
It's not about, to some degree, it's not about a group of people. It's about a message.
Amen.
And you will not find this message in any church.
Amen.
Okay? So, there's a rejection there. Top secret. I can't read that. There's a rejection because of the separation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If we're going to go without the camp, we're going to be counted strange. We're going to be counted diseased. Okay? Bunch of nutcases. It's true. Okay? It's true. All right. 2 Corinthians 6, whoever's there, the first 10 verses.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in time, in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Given no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. To what?
Through 10.
Oh, I read it.
That's right. Did you catch that phrase? As unknown, yet well known.
Amen.
Unknown by those who are determined not to know, but very well known by the only one that counts. James?
Scott, going back to that word predestination, my question is this. As far as being known, and I know it's the glory of God that conceals, is it that word that they it just haven't, I'm not saying it wasn't, it's not there for, but God knew, God knows, as far as those that, it all has to do with predestination. Now, I'm not talking about to be saved or unsaved, but as far as the in Christ predestinated, those in Christ predestinated, they just don't know. Is my question?
Oh, sure. A lot of ignorance. How much does a child know about the world?
Okay.
Just because they're a human being doesn't mean they automatically know how to behave as a human being. Okay. Just don't instruct them and find out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? They're perfectly capable of acting like an animal. They have to be taught. Okay?
Thank you.
Psalm 17, whoever's there, verse 8.
Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
And in Psalm 27, John, verse 5.
Okay. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Amen.
Amen. And then in Psalm 31, verse 20.
Thou shalt hide them Jesus. In the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues.
Okay. I like that one.
Yeah.
He shall hide them from the pride of man.
Amen.
And from the strife of tongues. And God sees the proud afar off.
Amen.
And there's plenty of his children that are proud.
Right.
Okay? Well, we have the largest congregation in the United States.
Sure.
So what? Enjoy second place for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
You know? What else are you going to do?
That's right.
I had to make up. I find little phrases every now and then, and they're so unique that I have to make up a little sign. So I make it up and I print it and I keep it in a notebook. But I came across one the other day, put one together. Some people say I'm so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. And then I put in parentheses, giggle. They're finally getting it. I'm not from here.
Okay.
All right. We are not from here. Song of Solomon 2, whoever's there, verse 2.
As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
Okay. As a lily among thorns. All right. What does a thorn represent? The curse. Okay. How many of you... how many in here grow roses or like to grow roses? 1, 2, 3, 4, Okay, of you four or five people, I'm going to shame you. When was the last time you went out and gave your rose bushes a big hug?
No.
6 weeks ago? 6 months ago? 6 years ago? Never? Well, Joe, what do you make of that? They claim to like him, but they won't hug him. Okay? The thorn represents not only the curse, it represents everything undesirable, painful to the flesh, the old man. But that is where the Lord is growing us up, is in those circumstances that nobody else wants anything to do with. Okay, that's where he's growing his lovely wife. Also,
Scott, those thorns are just like at the end, I had found out they have poison at the end. That thing gets in you, boy, and it goes like all through you. It really hurts.
Yeah, the end of the thorn is kind of painful. Okay, who read that one for us? If you would, Sherry, verse 14 now in that same chapter.
O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely.
Okay, did you catch that? In the secret places. Mm-hmm. Well, if everybody knows about it, it ain't a secret.
Amen.
Okay? Right?
Right.
Okay. All right. And then in chapter 4, Sherry, verse 12.
The garden enclosed is my sister and my spouse, the spring shut up, a fountain sealed.
Okay. Enclosed, shut up, and sealed.
Right.
Do you get the message?
Yes.
All right. This ain't the rose garden in the downtown botanical gardens or something like that where everybody can walk in. This is shut up, sealed, and secret. It's only for a certain person.
Right.
It belongs to him. And he is very jealous of it. Okay? It's not for public consumption.
Scott, I hope you don't mind. But you know, it's the glory of God that conceals. And I was just thinking, if though that jewel wasn't concealed, I believe that other believers would worship them. I like what John said, I'm just his friend. I'm just a friend of the bride. And like and it's something about that. I'm John the Baptist. If we are those that are gonna make up that precious, if they weren't concealed in this life, I believe the other saints would actually worship them.
They'll get around to that soon. We'll get around to that soon. Let's see, we've got somebody in Isaiah 29, someone in Proverbs 3. Let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 2 and someone to Revelation 2, and we'll finish up with that. Whoever's in Isaiah 29, verse 14.
Therefore, behold, I proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, within a marvelous work and wonder, where the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall perish.
Okay, the wise and the prudent are not going to see this. Those who, let me put it this way, those who think of themselves as the wise and the prudent. And our pastor recently testified about all those poor, misguided people that teach in those seminaries. Okay, pray for them.
Yes.
So sad. So close and yet so far. Proverbs 3, whoever's there, verse 32.
For the forward is abomination, is with to the Lord, but his secret is with righteousness.
Okay. All right. Those who wrestle with it are never going to see it.
No.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, whoever's there, verse 7.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Okay, a hidden wisdom. That doesn't mean that you can't have access, but you must be willing to come.
Yes.
All right. Revelation 2, whoever's there, verse 17.
You that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saying unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except he that receiveth it.
Praise the Lord. Anybody in here enjoy the taste of the hidden manna? I sure do. Hope it was a blessing to you.